Really glad to have you here today as we continue this series, How to Connect with Others. Grateful for this time just to set aside to say, Lord, we want to hear from you. And for those of you engaging online, some of you from far away, we have a typical day in Cleveland here. It's 80, sunny, blue skies. It's like this year-round, and you're welcome anytime. We'd love to see you. I want to start with a note that I got from somebody that here at Grace that I loved, and I think I could read so many of these. Here's what it says. Hey, Pastor Jonathan, I just wanted to let you know how thankful I am for the body of believers at Grace. Since breaking my shoulder in mid-May, I've been flooded with emails, phone calls, visits, cards, meals, and restaurant gift cards from friends, as well as even a few people I didn't know. This has been a tremendous help and encouragement to me, as well as their prayers for me. Their love and action has served to spur me on to love and good deeds and show me once again how important it is to have an ongoing lifestyle of serving others. I could read so many notes like that, and Mary and I often, like when we see people in action here at Grace and just investing in others and blessing, and Mary and I often like, wow, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, and a lot of you are central to those stories and really grateful for what God is doing through your life. Here's what I can say. It's not just what God does for somebody else when we serve and use the gifts he's given us to make an impact. There's something about God loves to return to us, right? Like there's a blessing that comes back to us. When I'm generous, God promises, I'm going to take care of your needs, and he does. When I'm generous with my time, you know, he loves to meet those needs in my own life, and we end up seeing things happen that we just go, God, you are so faithful. He gives us connections with other people. There are friendships that are established, life-giving relationships that we start to enjoy. And you know what? That's always been God's plan. It's what he's always wanted to do. Can I remind us today, you know, you wake up today and you're like, oh, Sunday is time to, you know, go to church or, you know, whatever, and we've got other things, and we can go about it like it's routine. Can we just step back a second and say, how does the Father in heaven see you? Here's what we know, that he knew about you long, long ago. Do you believe that? He knew about you. He knew your name before you were even conceived. You are not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not defined by the worst failure in your life. God sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And he designed you to be part of a family, to be part of something, a story that's bigger than just your own life. And he wants to make a difference through you. Friends, when we acknowledge who Jesus is and we surrender and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I've made a mess of my life, or I've tried to be successful and I feel empty. But Lord, I invite you to come into my life to forgive me and lead me. Your life takes on profound significance. You're adopted into a family. You have all these brothers and sisters, not only here, but globally, and you have a role in that family. God doesn't save you just to sort of be like on the shelf, or he saves you in order to make an impact through your life. You belong. You're part of a growing family if you've received Jesus, and he makes your life count. So it's not a surprise that when we look at the Bible that we see that this is part of God's plan and always has been, that he has this long-established plan to make a difference in our lives. In his wisdom and kindness, there are so many things that he planned long, long ago. I want to take a look at a few of those, six of them in particular, where the Bible says, long ago, God did this, he did that, he did this, and how our lives fit into that, and how it can help us to connect with the people around us. So we're going to end up in Ephesians 2, but look at some other passages. So if you have your Bible or your device, you know, the Bible app is a great one. Check that out. We're going to start in Luke 24, and then we'll wind up in Ephesians 2. And if you didn't get some notes on the way in on the tables right by the doors, or if you're engaging online, just go to gracecma.org and click the bulletin, and you'll see the notes for today. Want to just say again, welcome to our Olmsted Falls family, to our brothers at Lorraine Correctional. You might not be aware, if you're newer at Grace, that we have three campuses, Pearl Road in Middleburg, Columbia Road in Olmsted Falls, and then Avon Belden Road in Grafton. And we're just glad to have you guys with us today. and to our online community as well. Before we look at our passage, just a reminder, we have an app that you can download for free. You can live stream services from Grace. You can get the bulletin. You can, our calendar, all kinds of stuff, including some at the top there, some follow-up resources for the messages that you can look at during the week. So let's ask this question. What is the Father in heaven planned for us long, long ago? Here's what the scriptures tell us. First, it's clear that God has carefully planned our restoration with him through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Look at Luke 24, verse 46 here. Jesus is talking to two guys as they're walking toward this town called Emmaus, and here's what he says in verse 46. He says, it was written when? Long ago, that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. Planned long ago. It says it's something similar in Romans chapter 1. It says, God promised this good news long ago through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and the good news is about his son. So let's just be really clear on something. When Jesus goes to the cross and dies, it wasn't some spontaneous event where all of a sudden God the Father's going, oh, holy cow, like they've arrested him and they're beating him. What are we going to do? Like maybe we can figure out. The death and resurrection of Jesus was a part of God's plan long, long ago, and it was the way that he would give us a gift of grace to find our way back into a relationship with him. Another event promised long ago, transformation and empowerment through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, God is giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised when? Long ago. You're going to see this theme all the way through. So it was always in God's heart, I find this amazing, to not only live with us, but to live what? In us. That God always had a plan that someday he would live in his followers in order to let us just be like a pipeline of his character and his heartbeat and his kindness to the people around us. Then there's our adoption into God's forever family, also planned long ago. Look, listen to how the early church leader Peter puts it in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1. He declares, God the Father knew you and chose you when? A couple of weeks ago, and his Spirit, right? No, long, long ago. Friends, if you're part of his family, that's you. That the Heavenly Father sees you, he knew all about you, and it was his intent that one day you would be part of his family. I mean, he loves you that much, that personally, he knows your name. Here's something else God planned for us, the fourth bullet point there, that he has an intent for us to share the good news with people everywhere. You see that verse in the book of Acts, is that even when God had chosen the Jewish nation, Israel, in Genesis chapter 12, after just a disaster in the first 11 chapters of the Bible and of history, that God chooses Abram and Sarah, and he says, through you, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the nations of the world will be what? Will be blessed. So it wasn't just that God was blessing the nation of Israel. He says, I'm going to bless this family, and then eventually, Jesus, this Jewish child, would be born, and the blessing would spread to people everywhere, so that when the angel comes in Luke chapter 2 and announces that Jesus is going to be born, it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for what? All people. That was always God's heart from long, long ago. Same thing with the second coming of Jesus, an event planned long ago so that you and I could one day experience the wonder of an eternal home in heaven. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. Here's what we read in Acts chapter 3. God will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah, for he must remain in heaven, that's right now, until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. It's an event that's really going to happen. We believe that Jesus could appear visibly at any time. You know, sometimes you'll let people go, man, it's been like a couple thousand years, you know, since Jesus made that promise. Remember what Peter says in his second letter? He goes, with the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. So it's been about how many days since Jesus ascended to heaven? About two, right? And so Peter says, if people, you hear people scoff and go like, I don't really know about this second coming of Jesus. He goes, it's going to happen. And Revelation 1 says, every eye will see him. All of these things were planned when? Long ago. There's one more I want to zero in on today, and it's our key passage for today. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, there's a verse here that sums up so clearly what God's plan is for you and me. If you put your trust in Jesus, what he wants to do in your life, and it really is one of the key ways that you and I make friendships today. How do we build relationships and connections with people? We're talking about in this lonely world that people are longing to have authentic, genuine friendships. I really believe, I've seen it happen over and over again here at Grace, that what Paul talks about here in Ephesians 2 is one of the ways that this really happens. So let's read together just a couple of verses, Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10, reading in the New Living Translation today. And here's what it says. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. In other words, we'll never earn our salvation. We'll never be able to say, I sort of achieved this. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I'm going to stop right there. I love that passage. Great verses to commit to memory. God has this amazing plan to use us, to use you and me in the world today and even this week. So here's what number 6 in your bullet points on what God planned for you and for me long, long ago. God planned a cascade, dump trucks of goodness through you and me for other people around us, and he planned it when? Long, long ago. That's how important God sees your influence and impact today, that he's not going today like, I wonder what I could do through Bob or, Alyssa or Carl. Or he's saying, oh, no. No, long ago I had things in mind for you to do. So many of you are doing that. I mean, you're just actively making a difference and going, God, whatever you want to do through my life. Let me read another story of someone here at Grace and just the impact of what God did. Pastor Jonathan, I wanted to share a little of our story. When we've been married for almost 17 years. We were not Christians when we got married. We were young and in love. We were also lost and didn't have any examples of godly parents or marriages in our lives. We both came from broken homes. So the first 11 years of our marriage were a mess. We fought horribly, treated each other poorly. We separated twice and came back together. Unfortunately, our young kids did not see two loving parents. About 6 years ago, we were considering divorce. But then I started going to an Alpha course and I found God. Shortly after, my husband was also saved. Jesus has done amazing things in our marriage. He restored it. God has brought healing, love, forgiveness, and grace into our marriage. It hasn't been easy, but with God, we can now seek him in the trials we face. Our kids have been able to see two godly, loving parents. So it really isn't how you start, but how you finish. Isn't that a great line? It's not how you start, it's what? It's how you finish. I'm so thankful God saved our marriage. Just wanted to share with you all, God is good. I love stories like that, don't you? That God can take things that seem irretrievably broken and lost and dead, and he can resurrect them. And he does that. And how did it happen? It was because there were some people at Grace who were watching the little ones, those kids, while this couple was in the class. There were people at table leaders who were leading a discussion for Alpha. There was folks welcoming at the door. There were people who were doing all the promo and the paperwork behind the scenes. And friends, I wonder if we're going to get to heaven someday. And there's going to be people who were involved in Alpha and never knew this story. And God's going to say, hey, can I just tell you what you were a part of? Like, you had this part here, and you don't know the bigger story, but I had a plan for this couple, for this person. And you played a significant role in that. Friends, that's God's heart for you and for me, to change lives, to transform, and to use us in the process. And it says here that he planned it a long, long time ago. So let's just dive into verse 10 here for a few moments. This verse breaks down pretty easily into three parts. For starts, you are God's masterpiece. That's what this verse says. I am God's masterpiece. Would you say that with me aloud? You ready? I am God's masterpiece. Some of you need to look in the mirror and say that like 10 times before you go to bed tonight. I am God's masterpiece, that he has big plans in mind for you. He's an amazing artist. God doesn't make junk. But a lot of us, frankly, don't very feel like a masterpiece. You're going, yeah, that might be the person next to me, but that is not me. I don't feel that. Can I just tell you something? It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters the truth of what God says. And his word, his identity for you is that you are his what? You're his masterpiece. Like you bear the signature of God, that he's the one who created you like a potter shapes clay. In Isaiah 64, we read this. It says, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the what? The work of your hand. All of us. You. That God saw you when you were being formed inside your mom and he was putting together your personality and your... And you might go, yeah, but I've made a mess in my life. Welcome to the club. Right? Here's what it says back in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are God's masterpiece. And then it says, he has created us anew. What does it mean by that? Anew in Christ Jesus. God made us once, and we've sort of messed up our lives, right? We've made tough decisions. We feel guilt. We've all done things we wish we could take back and stuff like that. And so what does God do? He creates us anew. He recreates us. When we just go, Jesus, I've made a mess, or I've tried to do life on my own, and I still feel empty on the inside. I give my life to you. I surrender. And he recreates us. It says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So here's my old condition. Earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, my old condition is this, that all of us were dead because of our disobedience and our many sins. That's all of us. But that's not the end. When I surrender to Jesus, that the Father loves me so much that my restored condition, Ephesians 2 goes on to say, is that he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's by grace that we have been saved. Friends, I love the fact, it's not how you start, it's how you what? It's how you finish, that it doesn't matter where you've been, how much of a mess you think you made in your life, or you're like, my marriage is not gonna end in, you know, some kind of beautiful restoration. That's okay. That's okay. God has phenomenal plans for you. You are his masterpiece. He's created you anew. That's number one. Second part here is he has good things for you to do. This is central to Jesus' plan for all of us and it only makes sense, doesn't it? That when God creates you anew and is doing something where he's just like, this is a beautiful person. They're my masterpiece. He doesn't just put you on a shelf and go like, wow, they're like an awesome person. He says, no, this person is a beautiful person to me. They're a masterpiece. And here's what I want to do through this person's life. I want to pour out my goodness and my blessing into their life and let them be an expression of that wherever I take them in life. He says he's planned good things for you to do. I love how this is highlighted all the way through the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 43, you read this. This is what the Lord says. You are precious and honored in my sight. I want you to hear that for you today. This was spoken originally to people who had really failed badly, the nation of Israel. And God says to them after he pours out mercy, he says, you are precious and honored in my sight. And because I love you, everyone called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Friends, God has this desire for you that your life as a new person in Jesus will bring honor and glory to his name. That he wants to do good things to you. Now, just to be really clear, God doesn't accept you because you do good things. Like you'll never do enough good for God to accept you. He accepts you because of Jesus. We do good things. Why? Because of gratitude that he's already accepted us. Mary and I, in our relationship, I have an amazing, wife. Mary does kind things for me. She's not doing it because it's like, I don't know if I'm going to really keep her or not or whatever, right? She knows that I love her, right? She can be secure in that. She does things not to gain my favor. I don't do things to gain her acceptance. We do things just out of gratitude for each other. That's what a healthy relationship, you might go, I'm not in a relationship like that. That's not true. You can still do kind things because that person, even if they don't realize it or they're not living like it, they're a masterpiece of God and they're made in his image. We do good simply because we're saying, God, I'm doing this as an act of worship to you. This is what I want to do as your instrument. Here's what else this verse says. That's true for every follower of Jesus. Not only are you his masterpiece, there are good things. Here's the third one. Those good things are planned by God himself. That the one who's the creator, who lives forever, who's always been, always will be, who holds all things together. It says here in the final part of this verse, there are good things that he planned for you long ago. That God was thinking of you and mine, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to use them. I'm going to shape their gifts and their experiences, even some of the pain of their past, to make a difference in this way. And friends, when this happens, when we're operating the way that God intends, a couple chapters later, chapter 4, verse 16, let me just read what happens. It says this, Christ makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body, that's God's family, his church, is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that what everybody wants today? If we're looking for a community, we go, I want a community that's sort of growing and healthy and full of love, right? When we live like this, when we operate like this, it's one of the best witnesses to a watching world where they go, man, I feel the sense of loneliness. We're in this digital world, and I'm just looking for real and authentic. And friends, that's what Jesus is building. He wants his family to be healthy and growing and full of love. And he wants you to be a part of that. So what's your identity? You are a masterpiece of God himself. You are God's master. That's your identity in him. And what does he have planned for you? He has good things that he planned for you to do. He planned them long ago, and he wants to do those things in your life today and this week and the months ahead. And friends, you might be wondering, how does this connect with building relationships with other people? Because it's one of the best ways to build relationships is to say, I'm part of a family that God has made. I'm locking arms with others and serving to other people. And in the process, you begin to build these other healthy relationships and find that God is giving you new friendships and connections with people that you go, we share a common allegiance to Jesus, and these people are becoming lifelong friends. Let me correct what I think is a misconception at times that people have about churches, about a new neighborhood or a workplace or a school or whatever. Sometimes you'll hear people say, I went there and I just didn't find community. I didn't find community. As gently as I can say it, let me give a correction. You don't find community. You build community. You don't find it. You don't walk into a place and go, it was like unbelievable. I walked in and I had 120 friends, just automatic like that. It was boom. It takes hard work and effort, right? To build community, you say, I've got to put myself in places where I'm going to meet people, right? If I'm staying at home by myself or whatever, I'm not going to find or build community. And then be the friend that you would want other people to be to you. To say, I'm going to reach out, find out someone's name, see if I can make connections. And once I do, I'm going to invite someone out for coffee or lunch and say, hey, you know what? I found out we went to the same high school. Can we catch up together? We both have an interest in Cleveland sports teams, or we enjoy old cars or whatever it might be. And then you ask good questions. We talked about that a number of weeks ago. And then you do good. You say, God, how do you want to use me to make a difference for other people? That's the point of Ephesians 2:10, that you step out, you get involved, and you go, God, what do you want to do through me? And you do it with others. One of the ways I've seen community established here at Grace is I was at Take a Break last night. By the way, Take a Break is for those children, youth, and adults who have special needs. The parents can take a break. Last week, we mentioned the need for volunteers. I think it was 39 of you signed up to serve. That was amazing. Thank you for that. But I looked at the team last night. They did this big Olympics theme, and it was really creatively done. That Take a Break, all those volunteers, they find community. Our Grace Kids team, I see community. Blue Christmas, a team that really has one big event of the year, but they work together and they support one another. Our prayer teams, our security team. I could just keep on going. So many different places where people are saying, you know what, I sort of was serving there, and all of a sudden I did a short-term missions trip, and those people have become lifelong friends to me. When you live in what God has designed for you, you go, God, I'm your masterpiece. Not sure I believe that. I don't feel it, but I'll take you at your word. And that you plan good things for me to do, and you planned them long ago. God, I'm going to step into that. That as you do that, you begin finding that you develop new friendships and connections. You might go, Jonathan, all right, I got it. I'm a masterpiece. God has good things he wants me to do. How do I figure out where to do them? It's a great question. Sometimes we hesitate. We're like, oh, there's more people. You know, there's people who are more gifted than I am. That's always going to be true, right? There's people who are way better speakers than I am, more gifted. Anything I do, there's someone out there who's doing it better than I do. But that doesn't mean God doesn't want to use me or you, right? Or we might say, they probably have plenty of volunteers. Let me let you in a little secret here. There's almost never enough volunteers, okay? There's always room for another person to make an impact. Maybe it's hard to narrow down the options of where to serve, and you go, I'm not really sure what to do. Let me mention a few ideas. These are not in your notes. You're welcome to write them down in your notes there. But number one, invite the Holy Spirit to prompt you. Just ask him, say, Holy Spirit, where's my best impact? You know the season of life. You know the constraints of my schedule. You know how you wired me. And so where do you think I can make the best impact, and maybe develop some new friendships as I'm doing so. He loves you, he's empowered you, and he wants to make an impact through your life. Secondly, connect your passion with people's need. What do you really love to do? I've talked to guys here who go, I love to fix stuff. Can I just confess, like, my name is Jonathan, and I don't know how to fix anything. Like, I'm terrible. Like, I have, like, a drill that's 30 years old. That's the only tool I have. I can put some light bulbs in. There's other people here just, like, they can fix anything. And so we have something called Priority Projects here at Grace, where a group of people will go and they'll help out, like, widows and single moms, and they'll fix stuff for people who have, like, a new, maybe, handicap or something. And they'll say, what can we... They use their gift. They're passionate about that. Some people are passionate about encouraging, or they have the gift of compassion. I think we're in maybe 11 different nursing homes in the area here, and sometimes I'll pop in and I'll see a person from Grace just loving on someone who maybe would feel forgotten otherwise. There are people that are great at making food. They're part of the meal ministry here. They love working with kids, all kinds of stuff. There are so many things that you can do. Financial counseling. You might not be aware, we have volunteer financial counselors, and you might go, it just sort of comes naturally to me. Like, I sort of learned it from my dad or mom, or I just know how to manage my money. There are people around you, that's a struggle. And so we have a ministry here where people can talk to someone about, hey, can you help me figure out my money, and I need help with that. And they'll work with you on that. So what's your passion, and is it possible God wants to use you there? Next, ask other people you trust who know you where they see your best impact. Proverbs 20 says this, plans succeed through good counsel. Ask someone you respect, say, hey, where do you see me serving or making my best impact? They might see in you something you don't have confidence for in yourself. And you might end up doing something where you're like, you know what, I'm doing this because Bill thought I'd be good at it, and or somebody asked me to be a small group facilitator, and I actually love it, but I never would have seen myself doing this 2 years ago. But it's been awesome. Ask other people. Next, make the most of opportunities you already have. Where is the Lord giving you relationships and opportunities already, especially if your life is really busy? You know, you got kids at home, or maybe you've got a schedule that you work a lot of hours. You might say, God, I'm in the school system. Maybe I could be a sponsor for an after-school club like, you know, Youth for Christ Campus Life, or I'm already doing HR and I can help people who are, you know, in Job Seekers Network. It might be that it's in your neighborhood. It could be a colleague that you're like, I could come alongside this person and help them, and that they'll just go, man, you have been so kind to me. Thank you. And that counts. God is saying, I want to show my goodness through you. So ask the Lord. Just say, Lord, in this moment, at this grocery store, in this waiting room, sitting on this bus or airplane, this delay, God, is there something you want to do through my life right here? My wife Mary has this prayer that she often prays when we're together. She'll say, Lord, would you help us to love people in this group, this setting, this meeting? Would you help us to see them the way you see them and to love them the way you love them? It's a great prayer to pray wherever we go. Lord, help me to see people the way you see them and to love them the way you love them. You might say, Jonathan, is there a list of places at Grace that I can figure out where to serve? I'm glad you asked. Check out this page on our website here, you'll see on the screen. And there are all kinds of opportunities, people you can contact. In fact, you're going to see something scrolling through here, what that page looks like. And it just tells you all kinds of ways to get plugged in. And one of the joys that I have just makes me smile is when I see people here at Grace who are, right now we have people who are behind this wall behind me who are praying. They have a gift of intercession. They're praying for us and for you. We have people who pray over every seat in this auditorium before the services on Sunday morning. There are people who are serving in Global Grounds or the cafe. They're serving throughout the week. They're making things happen. And God sees it all, and most of them are listed up on that, as they're scrolling through. Also, we have a couple of classes that will help you discover what it looks like to follow Jesus. Class at Olmsted Falls, one over at one here at Middlebrook Heights. And guys at Lorraine, can I just speak a word of encouragement to you? I love being with you a couple weeks ago. Hope to see you again soon. Some of you, I wish your worship team could come here. If you heard the worship team from our brothers at Lorraine Correctional, you guys are so gifted. A number of you are doing Stephen's ministry. You're making a difference in the cell block. You're just saying, God, for the time you have me here, God, would you use me? We're cheering you on. Way to go. And wherever we are, God, help me to see people the way you see them and love them the way you love them. And friends, when we do that, there's just going to be new friendships that God's going to bless you with. You're going to connect with others who are running alongside you. You're going to say, you know what, we've been serving together. And you're just going to find that there's something about your hearts being knit together as you serve, that you become family, you become friends. And when you start to think about who are the people that I'm closest with in my life, often it's because you went to like a small group together, a Making Peace retreat, you were in some kind of recovery group, or all kinds of, you're serving together, you're growing together. And when we get this right, the power of our witness for Jesus is just exponentially greater. You're gonna see a quote on the screen here. It says this: the church has an opportunity to be an oasis of reality in a virtual world, providing a way for people to be accepted, embraced, and invited into God's eternal purposes. Friends, that's so desperately needed today, isn't it? That in a virtual, somewhat lonely world that has a lot of anxiety, that what if we could be the family that people go, I feel accepted, more than accepted, I feel embraced, and I'm invited into this, you know, family that God is building. Friends, our friendships with each other makes the reality of the gospel unignorable to the outside world. God wants to use us in that way. So may you always remember, you are not an accident. You're not a mistake. You are God's masterpiece. And he knew about you long, long ago and designed you not only to be his child, but also to do good things through your life. And friends, one day, he's going to come back. We know that we're going to get to heaven only because of his grace. We're saved by grace, not for the good things we do. But you know how you're going to be rewarded? It says you will be rewarded for the things you have done. That God's going to say, can we just do a review here? Can I show you that behind the scenes when you did this, nobody knew about that. You didn't get thanked for what you did. But I was doing something through your life, and look at the difference that it made. And you know that friendship you had? That was because you connected as you were serving together. And friends, we're going to live for all of eternity giving thanks for this little window of time that God gave us on planet Earth to know him, to reflect him, and to be the conduit of his goodness to the people around us. That's what I want my life to be about. And it's what I want for you. You are his, what? Masterpiece. And he's planned good things for you to do. And he planned them when? Long, long ago. Let's ask him to help us to live into that. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we invite you right now to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, some here are serving so faithfully. I pray that you would encourage them, renew their joy, give them a sense of your purpose. Give them a glimpse, Lord, of the things that you're doing and accomplishing through their faithful investment. And Lord, for those who are wondering, like, how can I get plugged in? What's my next step? Lord, we just invite you to lead us. For this next season of life, how do you want us to be involved? And Lord, we're just saying right now, we'll say yes to you. And would you take our meager offering and do far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine as we just make ourselves available to you? Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters here. So glad to be part of the same family with them, same team. And we just invite you, have your way through us for the sake of people around us and so that glory can come to your name. That's what we want, Jesus. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. What a good God we have. Father who loves you, sees you, has great plans for you. Let's stand together and declare that he is our foundation.